The US President Donald Trump has hailed as a tremendous success in the midterm elections after a night of mixed results, actually, for his party. The Democrats have won the House of Representatives and will now be able to block Donald Trump's legislative agenda. But the president has congratulated the Republicans for extending their control of the Senate.
This election marks the largest Senate gains for a president's party in a first midterm election since at least President Kennedy's in 1962. There have been only four midterm elections since 1934 in which a president's party has gained even a single Senate seat. As of now, we picked up, it looks like three. Could be four. Perhaps it could be two. But we picked up a lot.
Picked up a lot. U.S. President Donald Trump, as Matt mentioned there, seeing the silver lining in the result. And it is quite a silver lining. Meanwhile, if the Democrats are looking for someone to thank for helping them with their victory in the House of Representatives, young people might be a good place to start. Two in every three voters between the ages of 8 and 29 voted for the Democrats, more than a 10% improvement on the last two general elections. The Democrats can also thank people who don't own guns, with almost three in four non-gun owners voting Democrat. Indeed, gun policy was one of the big issues of these midterm elections, 9 months after a school shooting in Florida started a grassroots movement to demand kids be better protected in schools. One of those behind that movement is Nikita Nikala, a survivor of the Parkland school shooting in Florida earlier this year. I spoke with Nikita earlier.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Nikita, this is the first election you've voted in. What was on your mind when you cast your ballot?
Basically, it was like a very empowering type of thing. We are obviously thinking about the victims from the shooting and how we could best continue their legacy and vote in candidates that would support the type of legislation that we want to have passed.
In fact, you and others have said you wanted these midterms to be a referendum on gun control. Do you think for many voters it was that?
I think it was definitely more at the forefront of the issues than it has been in like past years. But there were definitely other big issues on the ballot like immigration, healthcare. There's just so many things that people want to have changed. And for us, gun control was big, but for others, it might not have been their top priority.
And for you and for those, your other friends and classmates who were there at the time of the horrendous shooting when 17 people were killed, you know, gun control is big, and you've spent the last 9 months campaigning to vote out politicians with a relationship to the gun lobby group, the NRA, particularly in your home state of Florida. In Florida, NRA-backed Republicans did fairly well, though. The new governor, Ron DeSantis, was endorsed by the NRA. The former governor, Rick Scott, who's got a history of opposing gun control measures, was elected to the Senate. If this was a referendum on gun control, it seems like voters in your home state, at least, said no. How disappointing was that?
It was definitely a letdown, and I think it was just a realization that we haven't mobilized voters as much as we'd like to think. I think we can do better in 2020. And also, we have to look at the bright side. So we did get an amendment passed in Florida that would allow ex-felons to vote. So that's 1.4 million new voters in 2020. So things can change. We're looking forward to the next election.
So do you intend, and others intend, to go on campaigning at the next election for gun control to vote out those MPs who support more guns?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about apart from Florida? How did your campaign go? Do you think that gun control was on the minds of many voters in other places? Is there much evidence of that?
I think a lot of people chose to vote blue this year in other places, so we were able to flip the House. So now the Democrats have a majority in the House of Representatives, which is awesome. And that was done by other states. And there have been a number of like new progressive congresswomen and men that have been elected, and like just elected officials that represent different demographics. So we have our first like openly gay governor in Colorado, and we have our first Muslim woman in Congress. And it's just kind of amazing to see these minority groups get into positions of power like that.
Nikita, what does it mean to you personally? You were at school at Parkland the day of the shooting. You hid, you survived. Your classmates were so affected by this rampage, this murderous rampage. What does it mean to you? What does it do to you to see so many people from your home state still refusing to vote for stricter gun laws?
I think for many people from my school and people that have campaigned for gun control in the past, like, 9 months, it was kind of a slap in the face to see our home vote against us. Florida has always been an unpredictable state, and they've often voted Republican, so it wasn't a huge surprise. It was just a really big letdown for us. We got our hopes up a lot.
Nikita, you and your classmates and then a growing coalition of young people mounted a campaign to motivate young voters to get out and vote. It was called the Walk Out to Vote Initiative. You urged students yesterday to leave school, leave the classroom and head to a polling place and vote. How extensive was that campaign? Was it right across the country? And did young Americans respond? You got any sense of the numbers?
So I don't know how extensive the actual walkout was, but I'm pretty sure the youth vote essentially doubled from the last midterm or even the last election, which is pretty amazing to see that kind of result. But we can do more, I think. It clearly wasn't enough this time in Florida, and we need to do better and get more people to vote.
Do you intend to keep being a part of this movement? I mean, what happened this time was the students caught a lot of national attention. Dozens of celebrities organised a live stream telethon aimed at young voters. Taylor Swift notably stood up and called out for her something like 112 million Instagram followers to research their candidates and cast their votes. How do you expect or hope to maintain that kind of momentum?
I think this should be an ongoing thing, and I'm, like, surprised that it hasn't been. It should have always been a movement. I think we should continue to do that and encourage voting and make voting something that is expected, not something that you go out of your way to do, and that's, like, something you should be praised for. It should be something that you're expected to do as a citizen.
And Nikita, for you, obviously the events on that day on the 15th of February changed your life when you saw some of your classmates treated so brutally. But this process too of being part of this national campaign, has this changed you?
Yeah, of course. It makes us realize the power that we have as young people and as people that know how to use social media as a tool, what kind of impact that we have on politics. And it's definitely made me a more empowered person.
Nikita Nukala, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Nikita Nukala, a survivor of the Parkland school shooting in Florida earlier this year and now a political activist. And after eight, we'll have a panel of analysts. We'll have Republican Elroy Saylor and Democrat Elaine Kmark joining us to analyse the results of these elections. Mixed results, not quite the blue wave the Democrats were hoping for. In fact, as we heard, Donald Trump calling it a tremendous, tremendous result for the Republicans. So how does he figure that? It's because they've gained seats in the Senate, but they've certainly lost control of the House. So that's coming up after 8 o'clock.